At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To the south of France, paradise. I'm in Constable, writing for Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and other distinguished publications, reporting to us on the commodities, energy and electricity, but especially the commodities that are said to be in shortage for these next months. That would be the middle-class commodities of orange juice, cocoa, chocolate, and coffee. So I'm in a very good day to you. Of course, we're concerned about protecting coffee and chocolate and orange juice. How else would a Frenchman or an American celebrate the morning reading the news and going, oh, it happened again? So, Simon, has there been any significant movement of those three bourgeois commodities? Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. Let's start with cocoa, because that's the chocolate question, which, as you rightly say, you do need a bit of chocolate to cheer you up sometimes. It's now around about $8,000 a ton. That's not much different than it was last week, but it is down from the over $12,000 in April. So it has come down a bit, and that may filter through to what you pay in the shops sooner or later. But, you know, in the shorter term, it really has moved sideways. We've got orange juice really not moving much at all for $4.34 a pound for orange juice on the exchanges, and coffee at $2.26 a pound. Again, with all of these things, you will not be paying that. You'll be paying more when it gets into the shops, because these are wholesale prices when you have to buy an absolute load of the commodity itself and then get it processed and put on the shelves. Anyway, so they're pretty much sideways at the moment, which is better than it going back up again.
And we go to the climate. It's cool and sunny here in New England. How is it in the south of France? You are paradise. There's a burden on you.
Yes, there is a burden. It's been remarkably the last couple of days. So we're talking about between mid-50s and low-70s in heat, and occasionally some sun coming through, and that's absolutely delightful when it does. We've also had some pretty gray days where the cloud cover is quite heavy, and that hasn't been so much fun. But there are many worse things in life than having mid-50s to low-70s, so I'll take it.
The first round of the French vote, Marine Le Pen's national rally did very well. The second round coming up, a lot of tactical decisions now, candidates dropping out, more than 200, the London papers are reporting, in order to combine votes from the center and the left to block Marine Le Pen. Marine Le Pen represents the farm vote. That's where you live, Simon. Any surprises that national rally did 33% in the first round?
In my view, not a surprise at all. It matched with very similarly to what happened in the European Union election, where National Rally was the number one party to vote for in France for the European Union election for those seats, and they were far ahead of all their other competing parties in France. And it came in very similar to that on Sunday night when the results came through. And I think it will be the same again next Sunday when the results we get there for the second round of things. I'm not sure what the opposition's going to achieve other than trying to squeeze together organizations that basically didn't like each other a couple of weeks ago, and they're now suddenly saying, oh, we better work together. So I think it will be a bit comical. And I do think that it's most likely that you have a hung parliament, i.e. no one with an overall majority. And that's going to make things a little tricky to get anything through parliament, any new laws for the domestic economy.
Marine Le Pen is easily the prominent candidate for the presidency. Spring of 27 is the next vote. So Mr. Macron has 3 years to maneuver. his assembly that he created by calling this election. We go to the British elections, the UK. Lord Ashcroft, you and I read him, and he is at this point saying half the voters who are Tory won't indicate that they've made up their minds. Labour is said to be the presumptive winner. And then there's Nigel Farage, if you want to fill in the news page, Reform UK. The Tories, they're tired, Simon. We can tell that. Is Labour ready? What is your measure from the safe distance of the south of France?
Well, what we do know about British politics is that you tend to have one party in power for a few terms, and the terms are up to 5 years, and it's a flexible thing. So we saw that with Margaret Thatcher's government, we saw that with Tony Blair and then Gordon Brown, and we've seen that with the Conservatives. So I think what I'm reading into a lot of things is that this will be Labour's turn. Now, the question is, by how much? Is it going to squeak through, or is it going to be a landslide? There's been a lot of talk about landslides. But as you mentioned, Lord Ashcroft has done some reports, and it basically got this idea, and I think there's a lot of truth behind this, that when people aren't saying who they're going to vote for, how can you know what the margin of error is? And I think that means there's a lot of wiggle room out there. Maybe the Conservative voters who won't tell anyone who they're going to vote for, which party they're going to vote for, will just not vote. And that's very different from the Conservative Party to the Labour Party. It won't be a swing. It'll just be an absent vote. And that could happen. It will be very interesting. A landslide in Britain is generally a rare thing, to the extent that some commentators have been talking about. They've been talking about the worst defeat ever is possible for the Conservative Party. I'm not sure what's going to happen, and I guess we're going to know that in the middle of the night as we go into Friday when the results start coming out. And I should point out that tickets, ballot papers are counted by hand, or at least they have been all my life in the UK. They count them by hand, then they bundle them up into units and weigh them, and then there may be a recount. But that seems to be what happens in the UK. Is very different from this electronic or mechanical voting system that America has.
And we now have the wait for the final vote, so it's time to observe the American election. Simon has lived in both countries. He now lives in France. He can speak to all three directions. However, since Thursday night, Simon, topsy-turvy here, how have you observed from the south of France? How have you corresponded with your friends in England? What are they making of the questions raised about the uneven presence of the president?
What's amazing to me is that this is coming out now all in one go, all sort of is spewing out, the media spewing out what they think should happen next, whether Biden should continue or shouldn't continue trying to be president yet again. And you would have thought that with an aggressive press corps that you would have this information coming out over time. Certainly you get lobby correspondents in the UK who will dig out any dirt or any sense that somebody is ill or incompetent in a really quite a fearful way, not somebody who just makes the odd mistake or two. And that seems to have been what's happening, is that there's been a lack of the press really aggressively going after what's been going on with Biden. Certainly there have been plenty of accusations along the way, but really that's been on one side of the election theme or the political coverage in America. It hasn't been across all newspapers, and it's rather disappointing is the way I'm looking at it, because you know, the great thing about the press can be that it brings out information that you didn't have before, and that hasn't happened this time. And it also looks very bad for Joe Biden. It was a very bad performance for him. And, you know, it's not really now about Donald Trump. It's about whether Biden's going to be there or whether it's going to be somebody else and whether that can even be arranged. So I think there's a lot of trouble going on there. And it's a very odd thing that's happened, and I'm not sure it's very good for America that you have someone in who really can't hold a debate. that that seems to look very, very bad from the outside of America. Certainly in Britain and in France, the view is this doesn't look like a good situation.
Simon Constable, he is in the south of France, in paradise, where the weather is always temperate and everybody's happy in the fields and the calves who wander under the fence. Simon stops for them. He doesn't bump them. Reflecting upon the events back home for Simon, the English vote soon enough, and observing his former home, America, the American vote in 4 months. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.